Good evening and welcome to Good Friday at North Place. We're so excited that you're joining us online today. And we are so grateful that even though we can't be together in person, we still have technology where we can celebrate Good Friday together. Today, as we celebrate Good Friday, we've invited you to bring your kids in and to join you. This is going to be a family service. And we're going to be talking about some things today as a family that I believe the Lord wants us to know about, because it helps us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, really to better understand exactly who it is that God has called us to be as his followers and the life that he provides for us. This month, as we have been leading up to Easter, we've been looking at the book of John. And we've been studying some different statements that Jesus made about himself in the book of John. Today, I want to turn it just a little bit because I want to read a statement to you that was made by John. I want to read to you from John chapter 1, verse 29. This is John the Baptist speaking. And he says this: "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" As the book of John reveals these different I am statements that Jesus makes about himself, the whole book is prefaced in this statement that John makes about Jesus, really revealing who Jesus is as the Lamb of God. As we celebrate Easter and the Holy Week leading up to Easter, there are several things that happen that are very, very important to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and Good Friday is one of those days. Today, we're going to celebrate communion together, but before we do, I wanted to take some time to teach on communion because I wanted all of us to understand exactly what we mean when we talk about communion. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19 to you. It says this: "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said to them, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now, there are two terms in here that is used in that story that I read to you that you may or may not be familiar with, but I wanted to take time to share it with you so you would understand it. And those are the word Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me read a little further to you in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. It says this: "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Jesus and his disciples were they've gone into Jerusalem, and they're celebrating what you heard, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then they're celebrating what's called the Passover meal. Now, both of those terms, for many of us as modern Christians, are not things that we're necessarily familiar with. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover meal are rooted within the Jewish faith or the Jewish belief system, and it's rooted within the history of the Jewish people. Jesus was teaching his disciples about this and wanted them to understand that everything they knew about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and everything they knew about Passover were all being fulfilled in the work that he was about to do on the cross. Jesus taught about this, and we find it originally in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, you see the story of when the Feast of Unleavened Bread and when the Passover meal were first instituted. You see, Moses and the children of Israel had been in Egyptian bondage. They had been in Egyptian bondage for a very long time. And God had spoken to Moses and told him to speak to the Pharaoh so that the people would be freed from Egyptian bondage. And so Moses went through a process going back and forth with Pharaoh to try to convince him to release the people. And there had been 9 plagues, and every time Pharaoh would act as though he was going to release the children of Israel, and yet then he would not do it. And after the 9th plague, God came to Moses, and he instructed Moses to instruct the people to prepare because he was about to deliver them. And so if you read in Exodus chapter 12, what you find is that God spoke to the people and he said, listen, I'm about to deliver you, and I'm going to do it so quickly and I'm going to do it so suddenly that you're not even going to have time to prepare your bread as you ordinarily would. And so he told them, I want you to leave the yeast out of your bread. I want you to prepare it in such a hurried form that you get rid of all the yeast. You don't worry about the yeast. You just bake the bread, you just prepare the bread. And many of us, when we eat bread, we know of bread like a loaf of bread, sort of like a fluffy substance. But unleavened bread is like a flat bread. It's almost like a cracker. And so what God did was he told the people, I want you to prepare your bread in this way. You don't have time to wait on the yeast to cause the bread to rise. He also told them that this particular day is going to come. And when it comes, I want you to take a lamb, and I want you to prepare that lamb. I want you to slaughter the lamb, and I want you to take the blood, and I want you to take the blood of the lamb, and I want you to paint it on the doorpost of your house. In other words, the entry of your house. And when you do that, you're going to be symbolizing that this is a house that is covered by Yahweh. This is a house that is submitted to God. And if you do this, you're going to be protected from this 10th plague that is going to come on Egypt. And I want you to take that lamb, and I want you to not only use the blood to cover the doorpost of your house, but I want you to cook it and prepare it and prepare a special meal. And I want you to eat as a family this Passover meal. And when you eat this Passover meal, what you're doing is you're declaring that as followers of God, you know that he's going to provide for you and he's going to take care of you. You may or may not know the story of the children of Israel in Egypt, but exactly what God said through Moses happened. A plague came upon Egypt, and in one night, all of the firstborn male children of the nation lost their lives. And as a result, the Pharaoh said, yes, I want to let the people go. And so just as God had spoken to them, all of the children of Israel, Moses led them out of Egyptian bondage, and everyone who had painted that blood over the doorpost of their house, it happened exactly as God said. And so from that time forward, God's people were instructed to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In other words, getting ready, getting all of the yeast out of your house and getting ready because God is going to deliver you. And then ultimately that he provides a lamb, and that through that lamb, through that sacrifice of that lamb, through the blood covering of that lamb, the people were delivered. And so from the time of Moses all the way up until when Jesus had come, even to this day, Jewish people still celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they still celebrate the Passover meal. But Jesus was showing his disciples that all of that happened as a foreshadowing of what I'm going to do for you. The Jewish people were instructed to keep this feast forever. And the reason that they were instructed to do so was so that they would remember forever that God was their deliverer. The Passover meal and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to remember. Jesus, with his disciples, gathered that day to remember, just as Jews had done all the way from the time of Moses. And when Jesus did that, what I read to you today was from when Jesus had that meal with his disciples. And what he said to them was, listen, in the way that you have celebrated the Passover meal your entire life, all of it has been pointing to me. I am the Lamb of God. I am the one who has come to deliver you as my people. Jesus instructed his disciples that they were to celebrate the Lord's table, what we call communion, from that time forward. Paul went on to instruct the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning this exact issue. I want to read to you verses 23 through 26. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Isn't it interesting? In the same way that God told the children of Israel in the time of Moses to celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread so that they would remember, Jesus taught his disciples, he taught those who would follow him, he taught you and I that we also should celebrate the Lord's table. Why? So that we would remember. You see, tonight we as a community, we're gonna take of the Lord's table together. But I want you to understand something. The bread and the cup, they're not magical. They're not mystical. There's no magical power in them. The reason that we do this is because they give us a picture of what Jesus has done for us. The bread that we're going to take and the juice that we're going to consume are there as symbols of what Jesus has done for us. There's no power in them in and of themselves. They're not magical. They're not mystical. They're not talismans or anything like that. They are symbols of what Jesus has done for us. It's very important that we all understand there's only one God that we worship. There's only one Savior that we adore. There's only one thing that we put our trust in, and that is God our Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You see, whenever we take communion, we are acknowledging that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we know God, first of all, has power to heal our bodies. Jesus said, "When you break this bread, you do so in remembrance of my body that was broken for you." See, Jesus allowed his body to be broken so that our bodies could be healed. In just a few moments, when we as a family take of the bread, what we're doing is we're symbolizing what Jesus has done for us, and we're symbolizing the fact that he has power to heal. Where you're watching this today, there may be someone in your home that is sick. In fact, many of us know people who are sick. All over the world, there are people who are struggling with this COVID-19 sickness. And as a result of that, perhaps many of us are afraid. What Jesus was teaching his disciples on that day, what God was teaching the children of Israel on the first Passover, is that there is no reason to fear. He has power to take care of us. In just a few moments, when we take of the bread, let's remember that God has power to heal. In fact, I want to encourage you right there as a family, if anyone in your family is sick, to lay hands on them and pray for healing in Jesus' name. As a family, when you take of the bread, I want to encourage you to pray for people all over the world, maybe people that you know, maybe even people that you don't know, that even right now, that God's healing power would flow in their bodies. Second thing I want you to see about communion is when we take communion, we are trusting that because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his blood that was shed for us, we know that God has power to forgive our sin. See, every one of us today, the Bible teaches us that every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have fallen short of God's perfection. Every one of us are guilty at something at some point in our life. But because Jesus shed his blood for us, our sin is covered. Just like on that first Passover when they painted the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, his blood covers us. It covers our sin. We're all free from the guilt of sin because of what Jesus has done for us. You know, when big things happen in the world, when scary things happen in the world, it can cause us to be afraid. It can cause us to be unsure of what's going to happen in the future and what's going to happen in our eternity. But you and I, everyone who's watching this today, can know for certainty, as a result of Jesus' shed blood, as a result of what he has done for us, our sin can be covered. In just a few moments, you as a family are going to take the bread, and when you do, as I mentioned, you give thanks. You say, thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for me. And by faith, we pray for healing for any who are sick. But then we take the cup, and when you do, I want you to follow the instructions of Jesus. I want you to give him thanks for what he has done for you and what he has done for me. I also want to encourage you, if there's any sin in your life, if there's anything in your life that you know that you have done that is different than what God would have you to do in your life, I want you to be confident. I want you to be sure that when you and I ask for forgiveness, the Lord forgives us of that sin. And because of his shed blood for us, our sin is covered. And once and for all, we can live with confidence and assurance, not with guilt, not with fear, not with shame. Even though the world around us may be scary, even though we don't always understand what may be happening outside of our home or what may be happening in the world, we don't have to be afraid because our sin is covered through the blood of Jesus. We're declared not guilty any longer. On that night when the first Passover took place, there was a lot of suffering in the world. There was a lot of pain in the world, but it came to those who were not followers of God. If you're watching this video today, the Bible teaches us very clearly that there is one way to have a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, we're gonna take the bread and we're gonna take the cup. But when we do, let's do it. Let's do it in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to, just as he taught those who followed him, to remember his sacrifice. I want you to embrace his sacrifice. I want to encourage you to embrace the fact that he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed so that your sins could be taken away. I want you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Surrender your life to him and embrace his rule, his lordship, his dominion in your life as your Savior. And as you do that, the Bible teaches us that you become one of God's children. You join in this fellowship. You join in this family around this table as we take this meal together. I want to pray for you right now. And then after this video ends, I want to encourage you right there as a family to take the bread and take the cup and to celebrate the Lord's table together. Let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. And just as you were faithful to the children of Israel, just as you were faithful to the Jewish people when they were in Egyptian bondage, you are faithful to us today. You did not leave us without a hope. You did not leave us without a future. In fact, you offered yourself as a sacrifice for us, so that our bodies could be made whole, ultimately so that we could receive new bodies. You offered yourself as a sacrifice for us so that we wouldn't have to live in our guilt and our shame. But because of your shed blood, we could receive freedom and we could receive newness of life. John declared of Jesus that he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. I pray for anyone who is watching this video today. May they embrace Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May they embrace him as the Lord of their life. May we all confess our sins and surrender ourselves to you and accept Jesus, the sacrifice that you made for us, so that we too could live in freedom, so that we too may experience newness of life. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.